It's 106, and you're in tune with Public Radio WNCW. Well, good Thursday afternoon. My name is Joe Kendrick. Glad to be your host. Very glad to be sitting across from this fellow, Edward David Anderson, coming back to Spindale. It's been a few years. Welcome back, Ed.
Ah, it's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's very good to see you as you're touring in support of your second solo record. And we last saw you, I guess, with Backyard Tire Fire.
Yeah, I think it was probably maybe 5 years ago when we put out the Good to Be record. I think we came through and did a Studio B with Dennis. And it's nice to be sitting across from you as well, sir. I've always been a big fan of WNCW. And every time we get a chance to come through here, it's a good day. So thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a good day to be here for some live music playing in the Queen City tonight at Neighborhood Theater with Tab Benoit.
Yeah, we've had a good little run so far. I got a handful more shows with Tab, and his band's killing it, and we're having a good time out there for sure. Looking forward to the Neighborhood Theater in the great city of Charlotte. Get to see my my agents from Intrepid Artists. Hopefully those guys will be out, and I get to hang with those cats tonight.
Well, you've got your second record, Lower Alabama, the Loxley Sessions, which was recorded in the town of Loxley, kind of near the Gulf.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of almost by accident. My wife and I spend our winters in Orange Beach, Alabama these days when it gets real cold up in the Midwest. We've got an old 1986 New Way Hitchhiker fifth wheel that lives about 1 mile from the Gulf of Mexico. And we try to tour the Southeast mainly when it gets cold up in the Midwest. And so these dates fit perfectly into the schedule for us. And we're happy to be out on this tour with Tab. But the Loxley record was, I ran out there last winter and just kind of went out to Anthony Crawford's house. I don't know if you're familiar with Anthony. He was in Neil Young's band for a bunch of years and Steve Winwood's band. And he's currently in a band called Woodley Sugar Caps with Will Kimbrough and Grayson Caps and his wife, Savannah. Anyway, I just went out there to record some songs and not really planning on making a record, just to kind of get to know him and learn some things. And we got a record out of it, really. I just had a good afternoon singing and playing, and I went out and played some shows and came back, and he had played fiddle and pedal steel and bass and drums, and his wife had sang these beautiful harmonies. And I said, geez, I think we have a record here. So, yeah, Lower Alabama, the Loxley Sessions, it's a... I'm very proud of it. I think it's a really nice sounding record.
Yeah, yeah. You're going places with this record.
Ah, thanks. I hope so.
Well, I think you've got a tune for us.
Yeah, I'd like to play the first track off the record, actually. This one's called Firefly.
Edward David Anderson is live on WNCW this afternoon with that tune, Firefly, which starts off his new solo record. Is that about anybody in particular?
You know what's crazy? I wrote that song 20 years ago and rediscovered it last Christmas. I think, and I lost my mama a few years ago, and I was kind of melancholy on Christmas, and I was sitting around getting nostalgic, and that song kind of came back to me for some reason or another. And I rearranged it and put it in a different key and kind of changed the cadence and rewrote a couple of things, but the premise is still the same. So it's me at 22, but in the bridge I kind of brought it into present day, reflecting back on, you know, how things were when I was 22 and how things are now. It's kind of strange to play a song that you wrote 20 years ago. I didn't even realize I was that older. I had that many songs, but it's still relevant and it still rings true and resonates with me. So I snuck it in there out there on the farm in Loxley. I had 8 tunes planned and to throw at Anthony Crawford, and I threw that 9th one at him, and he loved it. And his wife's harmony, Savannah's harmony, is just gorgeous on that, on the tune and the whole record. But yeah, that was kind of one of those songs that just kind of came back, and I kind of rediscovered it, and I really love the way it turned out on the record, for sure.
Are you going back for any more of your material?
Out to his farm? Yeah, well, or am I going to use old material?
Sure.
You know, there may be some other old ones used, but the plan is actually to go back out to the farm this winter and kind of pick up where we left off. People have been asking, you know, what's the next record? Where are you planning on recording that? Who are you planning on working with? And I kind of felt like that Anthony and I still have some things to do out there. You know, I've got a whole new batch of songs, and I had so much fun doing this last one. I just felt like, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, I'm gonna ride out there again. It's interesting. He lives on 2,400 acres in really rural Loxley, Alabama, down there south of I-10. And the last couple miles are this red dirt road that's carved out of these huge tall pine trees. And And you get out there, and it's just a real relaxed environment to make music in, you know. So I think I'm going to try to just head out there in January and maybe play a few less gigs in January and try to get out there and make some more music. So, yeah. And you never know. I mean, I have been kind of rediscovering old songs since this one. I kind of have been going back and finding some of the old ones that have been around for years, and it's fun to rediscover some of these old ones for sure.
Well, it fits that you would go back to a time when I assumed that you would be a solo artist at 22.
Sure, yeah.
Because now you're touring solo.
Yep, exactly.
Tell us about some of the differences between now and fronting a band, because you're just there by yourself on stage. That's got to be a big difference.
Yeah, it is. You know, it is. It really is. What I've done, though, is like I kind of had to figure out. I mean, it's been like project reinvention since the band kind of, you know, dissolved. So I have a kick drum, an old 60s Slingerland kick drum that I kick with my right foot. And then I have this contraption that I built. It's a piece of plywood with a couple of license plates taped to it that my foot comes down and kind of cracks like a snare. And then I have a tambourine that's kind of buttoned down to the board as well. So I get a little bit of a crack and a shimmer out of my left foot. And then I switch between this nylon string guitar, the 5-string banjo, and a cigar box guitar that I've got tuned to open G that's kind of got a nasty tone that I play slide with. And then I play kazoo and harmonica, and I've kind of got this little act, you know, that I've been able to, it's kind of evolved, you know, and it's working, you know, it's working. So I feel like I can put out a lot of noise and have a lot of energy on my own. So that's, you know, I don't feel like I've lost anything in that regard. I think the difference is the camaraderie, you know, like with your boys, my brother was in the band. And we all traveled and worked pretty well together for a long time. It's a little different not having anybody on stage to sometimes maybe even lean on, you know. It's all on you. But, you know, I feel really good doing it. I feel like the act has really come along, and I get really good, you know, reactions from people from doing it solo. So I must be doing something right. I do miss from time to time getting to play that Les Paul through that Fender Twin and letting it rip. But, you know, with having the kick drum and some stuff, and I'm playing a lot of kind of bass with my thumb, I can still kind of, you know, take solos and unleash a little bit just on my own too. So they're different. You know, I enjoy both. Right now I'm really enjoying this. I really enjoy this. A lot of it is because my wife is able to come with me on the road as a solo artist. I mentioned to you earlier that when we got married 15 years ago, we moved to Asheville as newlyweds and lived here for a couple of years. So this is a very special place in our heart. It's very nostalgic coming back here. But having her out with me has been real nice, and our little dog is with us too out there, and we kind of just you know, go from place to place and make music, and she helps me sell the merch and tour manage, and that's really the big difference here is that we get to spend time together instead of like maintaining our marriage through a cell phone.
Yeah, that's much better.
Which we did for years. Yeah, so
much better option.
Yep.
I see your dog made it into one of your videos, but how about the cat?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, the cats at this point, all three of them are no longer on the planet. It was tough to let go of little Kitty Boo Boo. That happened earlier this year. She was the last of the three. So we're just rocking with the little doggy these days, little Ernie, or Bobby, as we call him.
Well, if you wanted to go electric, you could probably jump on stage with Tab at some point.
Well, you know, you got to be invited for that kind of thing.
Well, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah, hey, guys, can I play?
you're certainly touring with him a lot.
Yeah, no, honestly, I think we've done 4 shows in a row with Tab, and so we're just kind of still getting to know those guys. But they're great people, great players. I've been just loving, just sitting back and listening. I don't really get to hear a lot of bands play other than when I'm touring with them. So, like, this has been a treat for us to sit back and listen to these guys rip. His rhythm section is just nasty, too. This guy, Jellybean on drums, and then this other guy, Corey, on bass, that's with him all the time. And then Tab, obviously, you know, the chops and the voice and the songs. It's been really fun. So, yeah, we're still kind of in the process of getting to know those guys and everything, but then it's been great so far, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely respect a drummer named Jellybean.
Yeah, Jellybean. He's bad, man. He plays with a guy named John Cleary. I don't know if you're familiar with John New Orleans. Yeah, who's a Brit that relocated down to New Orleans, but Jellybean's got some chops, and his feel is deep. His pocket is just there. Yeah, so we're having a lot of fun listening to these guys, that's for sure. Hopefully everybody comes out to the Neighborhood Theater tonight and digs it, too.
We're live with Edward David Anderson on WNCW, and he is with Tab Benoit tonight at the Neighborhood Theater. You can find out about that on the Neighborhood Theater site. You can also find out about Ed at EdwardDavidAnderson.com. It's all together, just like it sounds. And he's playing tunes for us. Have you got another one?
Yeah, yeah. This is another song off the record. This one's called Jimmy and Bob and Jack. This is a song about three old friends that tried to rob a liquor store in the late 60s in their El Camino. Everything that could have gone wrong did on that ill-fated evening. So I'll give you this. This is a story song. February 4th, 1968. El Camino cutting through the night. Back roads running late. Jimmy and Bob and Jack been friends since they was 5 years old. Always raising hell, never doing what they're told. Jim worked at a liquor store. Jack, he had a plan. He gonna leave the back door open, hit the safe and off they'd scram. Never have to work again. I'll buy a brand new car.
Well, that's a great story song.
Oh, thank you, sir.
How much truth is there?
Oh, that's completely fictitious. It came from, you know, when I wrote that tune, it was one of those things where I was kind of almost like a songwriting exercise where I was like, how many verses can you write? So I just like kind of just blurted out like 9 or 10 verses. I don't remember how many it is. And essentially, I eventually just was like, okay, well, this could probably go on forever. And I clipped it somewhere in that 3 to 4 minute range, like I usually do with songs. But recently I was playing a gig and a woman came up to me after the show and she's like, well, what happened? You know, like, what happened? Like, that could have, where's part two? I mean, like, that could have kept going. What happened? I mean, maybe, you know, maybe Jack didn't die. Maybe Jack got up. Maybe he was shot and kept running out into the woods and Jimmy and Bob limped out of the car. And I was like, maybe I'll write another part two or something to that song.
It could be more to that story.
Exactly.
Well, do you have any kinship with, you know, other songwriters that do great story songs? Any of the Outlaw Country Bunch, maybe?
You know, let's see. I mean, some of my favorite writers are great storytellers. Like, I'm a huge James McMurtry fan. I love the stories that he tells with song. Like, I think I was listening to, like, Choctaw Bingo and stuff like that when I wrote Jimmy and Bob and Jack. Or, like, there's a Neil Young song called Crime in the City that I love. It's a great story. Let's see. I don't know. You know, I'm all over the place, too, with what I listen to. I listen to a pretty diverse. Like, I mean, I run the gamut, everything from, you know, Zappa to, you know, John Prine, you know, and everything in between. So I'm kind of all over the place. I dig jazz. I like a lot of music that doesn't even have words, you know, like I love instrumental music, too. So I'm kind of eclectic. I think it's kind of been a blessing and maybe a curse for me in my career in that generally I put out records with so many different kinds of things. People don't really know what to call it exactly. I mean, I call it rock and roll, but that's one of the things I like about this new record is that it's very focused and defined, and probably for me the most, you know, all the songs really work together as well on any record that I think I've ever made as they do on this one. I got to give that up to Anthony Crawford. He played almost all the instruments on the thing. So really, I mean, honestly, it's me singing and playing guitar live, you know, mostly first take stuff. And then it's him really playing all these beautiful, you know, fiddle parts and pedal steel parts and, that really kind of ties the whole thing together. And obviously he's got the voice mixed kind of up front, which I like a lot about this record is the voice is right up front, real clear, front and center. But I feel like his musicality is what really kind of brought the whole thing together to make it feel really cohesive, you know? So, and that's part of the reason I said I want to go back out there and do another one with him, because I feel like this, I'm maybe kind of finding my voice as a solo artist, like currently as we speak, really. And I owe a lot of that to him, really, to get the kind of, he's kind of helped me harness this sound that we got. So I look forward to making more music with him. We did a bunch of shows together in the Midwest. He came up and played with me in Chicago and in my hometown and stuff. And it was kind of surreal because I had seen him playing with Neil Young at Chicago Theater, you know, several years before. And now here he is sitting next to me in a little 300 cap club in Chicago, playing fiddle and pedal steel with me. It was fantastic. I look forward to kind of following this trail that we're on here with this kind of Americana feel and this acoustic kind of thing. It feels real natural to me, mm-hmm. You know, it feels real good. So, yeah.
Well, with that sort of music taste that you described, you could be a good WNCW DJ, I bet.
Sure. Well, that's one of the things we always loved about NCW is it's eclectic. You know, we heard a ton of different great music on the station. And you know, honestly, just rolling down here, you know, and we Facebooked that we were on this, and so we're trying to get a lot of our friends all over the country to tune in and listen. And I've gotten messages from a few different people already being like, this station's great, you know, because they've been listening up to this point of it. So, you know, NCW's always been good for that, man. You guys have always you know, kept it real and diverse, you know, which is, you know, there's so many great different kinds of music. It's kind of weird to pigeonhole yourself into one thing and only listen to one thing. And that's, you know, obviously that's a good thing about NCW is it's very eclectic.
Yeah. Thanks. Mm-hmm. So tell us about the differences between Bloomington and Locksley, because there's got to be a lot.
Sure. Yeah. Well, first of all, it gets cold in Bloomington. We love Bloomington. We bought a house there. I went to graduate school in Normal, Illinois. It's Bloomington, Normal, the Twin Cities. Where we live is the highest producing corn and soybeans. We produce more corn and soybeans in the county of McLean County than any other county in the country. So we're in the middle of the cornfields, basically, with a couple of universities, Illinois State and Illinois Wesleyan. We bought a house there shortly after we left Asheville. We were here. We were in Asheville for a couple of years. We were in Athens, for Georgia, for a little while, and then we went back up there and ended up buying a house in the same town that we met in, actually. So we love our house. We love our friends and our family and everything, but it just gets ridiculously cold and icy and dangerous when you're touring. And so after years and years of doing that, we just kind of thought, maybe it's time to try this snowbird thing that we've talked about and see if we can develop something in the Southeast. And so we went down there and we lived about 15 miles north of the Gulf the first year. And we made a bunch of friends in this little town called Orange Beach, Alabama. It's right between Gulf Shores and Pensacola. And a lot of people don't realize, and I probably shouldn't be saying this because most of my friends down there are like, don't tell anybody. But there's 32 miles of pristine coast in Alabama, and it's gorgeous. And it's fairly underdeveloped, and it's some of the nicest beaches I've ever been to. So we ended up in Orange Beach, Alabama, met a lot of good people, a lot of good musicians, were kind of accepted and embraced with open arms into this cool little musical community. I get this year is our second year where we've lived down in Orange Beach. And at this point, we're just like less than a mile to the Gulf. So we've got our little beach cruiser bicycles that we ride around and we drink Bushwhackers and eat cheeseburgers in paradise. When we're not touring, obviously we're still working a lot and I'm still running around the Southeast, but it's a little less dangerous. Although yesterday was a heck of a drive from Nashville. It's a 4-hour drive that took 7 yesterday. There was a huge accident on I-40. They shut it down. They detoured us. It was raining sideways, wind, fog. I pulled into the Asheville or New Mountain at 8 p.m. as the show started. Luckily, there was an opener, Red Clay Revival. They were great too, by the way. And barely made that gig last night. It was kind of one of those things where I was like, didn't we come south to get away from inclement weather and drive it? You know, I was just white knuckling it the whole day, but we made it. But generally down there, the only thing you're dealing with is a little bit of rain and a little bit of fog. No freezing rain, no ice, no snow, no scraping of windshields, no shoveling of sidewalks. Just a lot of relaxation. And I write a lot of songs and just try to enjoy it, you know, and we're going to play a few less gigs this year so we can kind of enjoy the moment down there a little bit more. We ran really hard the first couple years, and we're going to work really hard. I have another Circle of the Song tour coming up with Ed Jurdy of the band Heathens and Seth Walker. We're doing we sit in a semicircle and swap tunes and stories kind of thing. We did it at Gray Eagle last year. We came through Asheville. I don't know if we're coming through Asheville this year, but we're doing that in January and February. But other than that, I'm going to try to make another record and enjoy the moment down there by the beach. It's very, very beautiful, and the people are fantastic. It's a very laid-back environment, beach environment.
You know, save a spot for me.
Yeah, done. Come visit.
We're live with Edward David Anderson on WNCW. Have you got another?
Yeah, I'm going to pick the banjo up for this one.
All right, sweet.
This is a tune. It's also on the album. It's kind of about hiding out in the woods and how things are kind of connected out there. I wrote it one morning out in the middle of the woods. We had a little cabin for a while. It didn't have running water, but it had electricity, so we had a record player. So I would go out there and just devour records. At this particular moment, I was listening to a lot of Bonnie Raitt. So there's a Bonnie Raitt reference in this song. This one's called Hiding at the Hollow. Train car rolling on a railroad track, Bonnie Raitt records at the top of the stack, hiding at the hollow, I don't want to go back this morning.
Yeah, we're David Anderson live on WNCW and hanging out in the shack. Edward, I love the age that we live in because we can be sitting in here and playing a live session, and I can put up a photo, and then you can tweet it back and quote it. That's pretty handy. You can play
technology.
Music. You can play music and do all that at once. And I'm also looking at our request inbox here, and there's this fellow named Mark who says, tell you hello from Robert Stale. And he's requesting a song.
Excellent. Is there a song that specifically that he would like to hear?
Says Loxley. Is that a song you know?
Well, that's the whole record.
I guess, yeah, that's what I thought.
But I would love to play another song off the record if that's all right.
That's perfect.
Can I do one more for you?
Yeah, of course.
This song, I've kind of told our story about how my wife and I travel around in our little Winnebago with our little dog and go from place to place. I wrote this song after we did like 24 shows in 21 days or something. And we got home and I picked up the guitar and wrote this. And it's kind of our story. And I'm going to try to sing it. This is a little early for me in the vocal cords, folks. I'm going to give it the old college try. This one is called One at a Time. And in fact, it's kind of inspired by a line from the great movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And I remember when we were here in the early 2000s, that was played quite a bit on this station. And that's such a great soundtrack. But there's a scene in the movie where Pappy O'Daniel's going into the radio station and the Soggy Bottom Boys are coming out. And I think it's Pappy's son or nephew says, don't you want to press the flesh a little bit, Pappy? Do a little politicking? And he's like, we ain't one at a time in here. We're mass communicating. So my wife and I have this little thing. After gigs, we look at each other and we say, one at a time in, baby. Because we're pretty much winning people one at a time. You know, it's not like I'm on The Voice or I have a viral video. We go play gigs and meet people and shake hands and we like it, man. It's a heck of a way to live. So, this is kind of our story and it's called One at a Time. Well, I'm making new friends and the road never ends from time zone to time zone ago. I've been rolling around with the girl that I found more than 16 years ago. From Athens to Mobile, well, Lord knows that I feel I'm moving when I'm standing still.
It's all about fan engagement.
Exactly.
Edward David Anderson on WNCW. Edward David Anderson, who has a more resplendent beard than you.
It gets caught in the harmonica holder, though. I had to trim it back. It was detrimental to my stage presence because it was so painful on so many occasions having beard hairs pulled out, so it's actually a little more tame than it usually is.
Yeah, I saw that. Like over the course of some of your videos, it's gone from somewhat almost not there to fairly midway towards now fairly full.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah, I didn't shave it for 2 years at one point, like, which is nice because I'm pretty lazy when it comes to that kind of thing, you know, maintenance of any sort. So like, just not having to shave for 2 years is pretty cool. Every now and again, I trim it up, though.
How long does it get after 2 years?
It was pretty, I mean, that's the album cover was probably in that. So it was maybe another 6 or so inches beyond where it's at now.
You can check out check out the photo at EdwardDavidAnderson.com. He's playing at the Neighborhood Theater tonight in Charlotte with Tab Benoit. Ed, thanks so much for stopping by.
Man, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
You're so welcome.